So there's two ways to look at the Word of God. A lot of people try to spiritualize the Word of God, and then others take it word for word. And to begin this lesson, I believe we need to tackle this just for a few moments. But not only can we take the Bible literal, but I believe we have to take it literal. This is the only way to determine what God really is trying to communicate with us. It doesn't matter what book you get out. You don't sit there and say, well, I think the author is really trying to say this. We have to take the Word of God literal. What a lot of people do when they say spiritualize it, they say, well, what I think God really means in this passage is something different. What he's really trying to say here is this. And at that point, we all have our own opinion, and we try to justify our own beliefs, and we try to force certain things onto each other. And if you spiritualize the Word of God, each and every one of us would have a different opinion about the Word of God. We have to take it literal. I think the other problem is when we start to spiritualize it, we become the final authority. What parts are to be interpreted literal? And then we begin to elevate ourselves above God. God wrote the Word. He wrote the book word for word, and we must take it literal. We're going to spend some time on the Great Commission, and then we're going to jump into what I believe is our Grace Commission. The most popular account of Jesus' final words to his disciples make up what is popularly referred to as the Great Commission. Most fundamental evangelical Christians believe it is our commission today as members of the church, the body of Christ. Many think it's the only commission found in scriptures. But you can go back to the Old Testament. Noah had a commission. Abraham had a commission. Moses and David had a commission. We're going to learn today. So we're going to try to pull out facts out of the Word of God. And we're going to look at, to whom did Jesus give the Great Commission? To whom did Jesus send the 12 apostles? What gospel message were the 12 apostles to preach? When was the commission in effect? In what dispensation? What age? What was required of those who heard the message? And what else was part of the Great Commission? So let's first read a little bit about the Great Commission. You can jump to Matthew chapter 28 as one of a lot of people like to use. Matthew 28. You can start with verse 18, and it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jump over to Mark 16. And we're not going to look up all of them, but just to give you an idea of a few of them. Mark 16, starting with verse 14. He says, "Afterward he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief, hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen them after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Whom did Jesus give the Great Commission to? We can see in verse 14, it talks about it here very crucially. It tells Jesus appeared to the 11. Jesus directed his words to the 12 apostles. At that time, there was only 11 because of the loss of Judas Iscariot. The commission was not spoken to the multitudes, nor even to all of Jesus' disciples, but it was spoken to the 12. And then Matthias was given it to as well later on. To whom did Jesus send the 12 apostles? You can see in verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So here he tells them to go to all nations or to all the world. This commission here did involve the entire world. Many reasons that this must be our commission. As we examine other passages of Scripture, we find more instructions given to the 12. Look at Luke chapter 24. You can look at Luke 24, 47. It says, you can see in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the 12 were to begin at Jerusalem and spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. You can see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says the same thing. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So they were supposed to start in Jerusalem and spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is written for the 12 apostles to preach the kingdom program. You can even see in Matthew chapter 10, we brought it up a couple weeks ago, but it says, go not unto the way of the Gentiles, do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The 12 were called to preach to the Jews only. We'll just tackle this for a minute because we did talk about it a little bit, but what gospel message were the 12 apostles to preach? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, so if you want to go back and listen to some of my sermons, you can find it. But you can jump to Matthew chapter 4. All this ties together with the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and manner of disease among the people. You can even see in verse 17, a few verses above that. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was a minister to the circumcision. Jesus went to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was God's chosen people. He proclaimed that their promised kingdom was at hand. It is near. It's ready to be set up. He's ready to give it. John the Baptist did the same thing. The 12 did the same thing. The commission, the Great Commission, was to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That Jesus Christ was the Son of God and repent for the remission of sins. That is not what we are to preach today. We'll get to it in a little bit, but our gospel is that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for salvation. When was this commission in effect? We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but a lot of people believe that the day of Pentecost was the beginning of the body of Christ or the beginning of the age of grace. But in Acts chapter 2, nothing has changed. Peter's still preaching to the Jews. He's preaching to the... Take some time and read through Acts chapter 2. But nothing has even changed there. Even before Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. They were looking for the prophecy. They were looking for the prophetic program to be fulfilled. Look over with me to Acts chapter 3. The reason we've been diving into this over the last couple weeks is we've been looking into the word dispensationalism. We've been talking about the difference between prophecy and mystery. And it's very crucial to see the difference between prophecy and mystery. But you can see in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 21, it says, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Again, this is part of prophecy. Nothing has changed yet. You can look in Acts chapter 2. He's dealing with the nation of Israel. He's dealing with proselytes. He's still dealing with the same. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Peter is still dealing with the nation of Israel. In Acts chapter 3, verse 21, it talks about the prophecy and the prophetic program. When you get over to the Apostle Paul in Romans 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. If Peter and the 12 were preaching the same thing the Apostle Paul was preaching, he would not say my gospel. It's a different message. It's a different program. Peter and the 12 were saved. They're going to be a part of the earthly kingdom. They're going to be a part of that program. It says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. There was a secret that was revealed to the Apostle Paul from the Lord Jesus Christ after he ascended into heaven. And that's what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. What is the mystery? What does it include? It includes the body of Christ. It includes the rapture. It includes our salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission was part of the prophecy program, that there will be an earthly kingdom that will be set up. But that's a different program. Jump back with me to Mark 16. What was required for salvation under the Great Commission? You can see in verse 16:16 in Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I think this is why it's so crucial to take God at his word. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There was no reason to add on that if you're not baptized, you're not saved, because if you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized. Before the Great Commission, baptism was part of the requirement. And that's not my opinion, that's what he wrote. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Again, it's referring to a water baptism here. I believe it is a requirement at this time, not for today. Let me get that clear. Water baptism is not required for today. But even in Acts 2:38, he says the same thing. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That is all Peter knew. That's the gospel that he preached. That's what he shared with the world. Peter understood that requirement. You had to repent and be baptized. It was a requirement. It was part of the gospel. What else is part of the Great Commission? Here in verse 17 and 18, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say it's for the 12 only. It doesn't say for the ones that are extremely faithful. It doesn't say if you do certain things right. But verse 17 and 18 cannot, across all Christendom, is very confused and muddled. We don't know what to do with this passage. Verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Some people take none of this. Some people take a portion of it. I know when I first met Sunny, she was going to a church like this. And she would take the first couple. Hey, we can cast out demons. We can speak with new tongues. We can lay hands on people. But we're not touching the serpents. Okay? It's in the passage. And when I showed it to her, she began to study Scripture. I'm not telling you to take my word for it. I'm telling you to be your own Berean and study the Word of God. I'm telling you to go home and understand what this passage is about. Otherwise, it puts a loop. It throws a problem into our belief. But in that kingdom program, in that earthly millennial reign that will come in the future, these signs are going to follow everybody. They can speak with new tongues. They can cast out devils. They can pick up serpents. They can drink any deadly thing. That is not for us today. That is part of the prophecy program. But like I said, some churches take a little bit. Some try to take all of it. Some take none of it. But I believe that is written to the nation of Israel. That was given to the 12 apostles to preach about the nation of Israel, to spread that great commission. So you say, well, if that's not for us, what is for us today? What do I need to understand about Scripture today? You know, with Israel's rejection of the ministry, the nation of Israel was given time and time again another opportunity. In the Old Testament, they asked for a king. And Jesus Christ said, they're rejecting me. That was rejection of God the Father. At the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that was rejection of Jesus Christ, the Son. And all the way up to Acts chapter 8 is the final straw. He gives them another opportunity and says, hey, it's now time to restore the kingdom of heaven. And in Acts chapter 8, they stone Stephen. And it's the final straw, the rejection of the Holy Spirit. And right there at Acts chapter 9, Saul, who now becomes Paul, he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Again, these are not my words. This is what Scripture says. Any letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, you can go to the beginning of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He was called by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given a mystery program. He was revealed this message. But he has a different commission. He has a commission to the Gentiles. You can see that in Romans 11:13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Christ revealed to Paul a new plan, a new purpose, a new message. This truth was a mystery kept secret from men of other ages until made known to the Apostle Paul. Yes, on earth, the last thing that Jesus gave to the 12 was the Great Commission. And that's where we all get stuck. We all get hung up and we study that. But there was another message that was revealed to the Apostle Paul from heaven. So what is our commission today? First off, you can look at 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved? Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Our calling, our commission is to preach the gospel. And many times as grace believers or people that rightly divide the word of truth, or, you know, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of times we get looked down upon because we're so adamant about doctrine. But to me, doctrine and evangelism go together. If you don't know what gospel to preach, how can I share the gospel? I have to have doctrine and evangelism together. But our commission, our calling is to preach the gospel. What are we to preach about Jesus Christ? What is required for a person to be saved? The 12 apostles preached Jesus Christ, but they preached it according to the gospel of the kingdom. They preached that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he would be king, that he would be the Messiah, he would be the anointed one. And like we said, even in Acts chapter 2 and 3, Peter never mentions that Christ died for our sins. Jump over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. probably 2-3 months ago, I did a study. All this came from, we've been going through big words of the Bible. So 3 or 4 months ago, I did it on the word reconciliation. The work of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. That word reconciliation means we were separated. And the Lord Jesus Christ built a bridge to bring us back to himself. You know, the work of reconciliation is accomplished by God himself, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin upon himself. Jesus Christ was holy, he was blameless, he was perfect, and he took my sins upon that cross. What does it mean that Christ reconciled the world to himself? I do not believe in universal salvation, which means that everybody goes to heaven or love wins or, you know. I do believe in universal reconciliation. That Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he paid the price for everybody. He paid the price for all mankind's sins. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Like I said, that does not mean that everybody will be in heaven. That does not mean that everybody is saved. That means Jesus Christ did his part. And it's our choice whether we get on that boat or not. It's our choice whether we believe that he did the work for us. Our calling, our commission is this ministry of reconciliation. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have been reconciled. Jesus Christ has done his part. You have done your part, and now you are one. You have reconciled that relationship. And it talks to us that we need to be that minister of reconciliation. Verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Each and every one of us in this church this morning is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Yes, there's some parallel with the Great Commission. We need to go to all the world. We need to spread the good news to everybody. We need to teach the world that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for their sins. You can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is the gospel for today. When you study the Great Commission, it's repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It's Jesus Christ was the Son of God. It is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is what the 12 preached the entire time. And when Paul came on and was revealed this special message, the mystery program, this is the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the gospel, the one and only gospel for the dispensation of the age of grace for today, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I believe in the Word of God. Faith is taking God at his word. It's believing what he wrote in here. Doesn't mean we're going to understand everything from front to back. But you can't start to understand it until you have a saving knowledge of his Son. All you have to do is say, yes, I believe that you went to the cross for my sins. That you did that. You paid that my part. that you took my sins upon you. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. Jesus Christ did all the reconciling himself. He took care of it. He went to the cross to take your sins upon him. Our grace commission for today is the ministry of reconciliation. It's the word of reconciliation. It's the work of reconciliation. We are all called to be ambassadors. We are all called to share the gospel. We are all called to tell others. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is why I use so many scriptures when I teach. The Holy Spirit speaks through the word of God. Again, there was a prophetic program that was set up from the beginning of the world. From Genesis 1 all the way up to Acts chapter 9, we're dealing with prophecy. We're dealing with the nation of Israel. There will be an earthly kingdom set up. And then when the Apostle Paul gets saved, he gets saved. And there's this mystery program that's revealed to him. If you get time this afternoon, read Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery is the rapture. The mystery is the body of Christ. The mystery is that we are now one with Jew and Gentile alike. The mystery is that we have spiritual blessings. The nation of Israel has earthly blessings. There's so many things inside of this. But you have to take the word of God literal. That is what our calling is. Ephesians 3:9, it says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Let us close it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've given us a job to do. We are all called ambassadors from the Almighty God. What a glorious thing that you have asked from us. We just pray that we will go out there and be ready to battle, be ready to fight, and be ready to share the gospel. That you sent your son to die on that cross. That you took my sins upon that cross. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was sinless. He did no wrong. But he was willing to hang on that cross for me so I could have eternal life. And all I have to do is put my faith and trust in that. There's nothing else that adds to that. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to give. I don't have to be good. I don't have to. Yes, all that comes after understanding salvation, that we need to be good, that we are created for the workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us, and we thank you for the word of God that we can learn and grow and continue to grow from it each and every week. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen.